Okay. Today we're talking with drummer Slammer Steel from a band, Brute Force. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, and of course, your band, Brute Force, has been. You guys released your debut album last fall, and how happy are you with the way people have been responding to it?
You know, I'm very happy with the response that we've gotten from everybody that's heard it so far. It came out late last year, and everybody that's heard it is really liked what they've heard. And what I really like about the album, and I'm proud of the band, and I'm proud of the production way it was done, was that it seems like everybody seems to have a different song that they like as their favorite. So it's not just like, hey, I like this one and this one only. It's like, I like this, and then the next person you ask, they're like a completely different track altogether. So it's been a great theme, that not everybody likes the same song, and they like more than one or two or, four or five of the songs. So it's a really good feeling.
Okay, now of course the band was formed by you and your brother. Now I understand you guys, you're talking to him, you guys started out as professional wrestlers. How did you guys first get into wrestling?
Well, when we first got started in wrestling, we were also working in the band. We had a band at the time.
Okay.
And we got a very fortunate break that it was presented to us that we had an option. And at the time, it seemed like, let's just, somebody put it to us, it's a funny story. Sorry, but it's a funny story, but we decided to go with the wrestling at the time because it just seemed like it was going to be a better fit for us.
Yeah.
But we've never quit playing. We've been playing music for quite a while.
Okay, yeah. The interesting thing to me about the whole thing is, like I was telling your brother, one thing that impressed me about your guys' story is, like we're talking about, you guys been into music. I understand you did a little bit of acting. You were into wrestling. It seems like kind of, whatever you guys have set out to do, you've managed to accomplish. Think that's, why do you think you've been able to accomplish so much?
I'll tell you why. It's because it's a hunger. You have to want it.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody gets into wrestling because it's fun.
No.
You don't go to wrestling practice to get your ass kicked because, hey, this is fun, I'm having a great time, thanks for punching me in the face. You do it because it's a love. You spend time at the practice studio practicing your bass or your guitar or your drums, and you're there, 8 hours a day. Just you, and your hands are tired, your back's sore, and you want to stop, but you can't because you need to practice. You need to get good at your instrument. You need to make it, something that you're good at doing. And I think that once you get that hunger or that fire and desire inside of you, that's what really makes you want to do these things.
Yeah.
Like I said, when you got into wrestling, no one wanted to get in the ring and get punched by a 7-foot-tall guy. No one wants to take a power bomb. But you do it because you have to learn and you have to want to do it.
And
you're not doing it for the money. No one does anything for the money.
No.
In the beginning, there is no money.
And at the same time, there's like a certain entertainment factor to it. I mean, even just getting into wrestling, like I said, you don't necessarily do it for the fun of it, but you must have that desire to, get in front of people, get in front of an audience at least.
We enjoy entertaining. We enjoy performing for people.
Yeah.
And that's why either it's, wrestling or acting, the music. We've actually even raced race cars before, believe it or not.
Really? Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. It's just, I like being in front of the camera. I like being in front of a group of people. Without being a clown, I like to perform.
Yeah, yeah. And how old were you when you first started drumming?
Started probably in sixth grade. I started around sixth grade in elementary school. When I got my first, it was like everybody had the flute, that recorder that you get in high school. Elementary school.
Yeah.
Everybody plays that, and then you do an assembly where people play the guitar or this or that. None of that appealed to me. The guitar didn't appeal to me, and the recorder didn't appeal to me, but hitting the drums, making something loud. That's what I did as a kid. I drove my parents crazy, making noise and hitting something or moving and doing. So the natural thing for me was drumming, and at that time, that's when I got my first practice kit as a kid, was in sixth grade.
Wow. And drums is a pretty physical activity, so, I mean, it helps you to kind of stay in shape as well, right?
It does. You know, it's a workout, you know. If you listen to a few of our songs,
yeah,
you know, you can't sit back and just lolly-da-da through it. You know, you got to be on top of the kit, and you got to lean into it, and you got to keep moving if you're going to keep up with us, because the songs move. So you have to be in a little bit of cardio shape, and you have to be in a little bit of physical shape to, you know, to maintain the speed throughout the song.
Yeah, and who were some of your the drummers that influenced you growing up?
I got a really wide variety of drummers that I've always liked. Obviously, the big ones, you know, Peter Criss from Kiss, but I also love, you know, AC/DC.
Yeah.
But I also like Motorhead. Who doesn't like Mickey D?
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear these guys, and they're back there moving, and they're shaking, and the kids is rocking back and forth. Tommy Lee, you know, I grew up listening to Tommy Lee, and I'm thinking, holy crap, that's just a drummer. There's no other instrument involved. That's just him. And you listen to that. You know, so those are kind of the influences that I listen to. But I also listen to some of the southern rock and roll guys. You know, the people that you never heard of.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's kind of the... some of the people that I always listened to while I was coming up.
Well, that you know, that's kind of interesting. And then, like, you know, when I was talking to your brother, like, I told him, you know, me listening to the album, like you said, everybody seems to have their own favorite track. And what really impressed me about the album, I gotta say, is I liked the whole thing from start to finish. You know, a lot of albums, when you listen to them, they got like one or two great songs, or, you know, two or three singles, and then everything else is crap. But you guys, like, to me, you sound kind of a cross, like, between Motorhead and Judas Priest, and, like, you're saying you're influenced by Motorhead. I can definitely hear that, but, talk a little bit about when you guys went in to record the album. I mean, what was that like? Because I imagine this is your first album you recorded.
Yeah, again, there's another funny story going into the studio. You know, first time we recorded, you know, we've been in some other studios around and laying down, you know, tracks for this and for that, and doing a small cassette tape, you know, back in the days and things like that. But when you're getting serious and you're going to put something out that's got your name on it, that's going to go, you know, hopefully out to the world, so everybody's going to hear it. Our first case of being in the studio was with the Grammy Award winner, you know, Bob Hewlett. You know, and then you walk into his place, and it's kind of a humble place. It doesn't look like Taj Mahal. But as soon as you get inside of it, now you start seeing all the gold records on the wall and all the Grammys, you know, the Grammy that he won. And you start seeing, you know, all these accolades that the man got. And then you sit back and you talk to him, and it's like, you know, he doesn't act like he would by looking at, you know, all the awards that he has sitting around him. So, again, you're not intimidated by him, because I'm not intimidated by anybody. But you realize that, you know what, if you're going to play for him and you're going to record that he's going to put his name and his stamp on it,
yeah.
Then going back to what you said before, I have to be prepared, and I have to go in and make sure that I don't embarrass myself, my band, my bandmates, and him. You know, so it was kind of, you know, it was fun, because you don't always get in that situation very often where it's like, this is, you know, this is it. You really have to do it. You know, you have to do your job, and you have to make it right. You know, and he made us feel perfectly well at home. You know, there was nothing that rushed. It wasn't, let's get it done, let's do it right. And that was his attitude. So even if I did make a mistake, and you break a stick, or you drop a stick, or you wish you'd hit the cymbal, you know, less hard, or maybe I knocked the cymbal over one time because I was hitting it. You know, you do those things, and you realize, you know what, he's not going to get mad at you because you're trying, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So he just tells you, look, let's just do it, and let's do it right, so we don't have to waste our time, which is a really good feeling.
And being, I was curious, being a Kiss fan and knowing that he's actually played on, you know, some Kiss albums, what was that like for you? You know, and hey, this guy's actually played with them, you know?
It was incredible. Yeah, we first met his brother, Bruce, at the gym.
Yeah.
And we were riding the bicycle, just, you know, after we worked out, and we were kind of just looking at the girls walking by, and all of a sudden, we noticed for like a month and a half straight, we noticed the same guy walking back and forth time after time. And we looked up and finally realized, wait a second, that's Bruce Kulick from Kiss. So we just said, the heck with it, you know, F it, let's just go talk to him. So the gym that we work out in, the LA Fitness, the one that we go to, is kind of a small little neighborhood gym. And here it is, you know, my brother and I are pretty good-sized guys. We came walking toward him, and he's in the corner, and there's really no place for him to go.
Wow.
He can't, like, walk away or anything like that. So we kind of trapped him in the corner and told him, you know, hey, you know, we're Slammer and Jammer. We used to wrestle. Now we have our band going, and we're wondering, you know, do you know anybody that can record, you know, not only music that makes it sound like it's supposed to. So we kind of sat down and got him in the corner. We chit-chatted for, you know, an hour about Kiss. I mean, come on. How often do you get to talk to somebody who was in KISS?
Yeah, yeah.
And you force them to talk because you can't leave. You can't get biased. So we made him work out, and we also made him, you know, tell us about stories about, you know, him being on the road and KISS and things like that. And then he ended up giving his brother's phone number to us.
Wow.
Bob. So we called Bob up, and Bob said, look, don't tell me anything else. He goes, my brother called. He said he'd meet you two guys at the gym. He said that he should meet us, blah, blah, blah. So we met. We went down. He had no preconceived notions about who we were. He didn't investigate us on the internet. He didn't look to see what kind of music we played or anything.
Wow.
So when we walked in, it was, you know, hey, let's just chit-chat. We chatted for, you know, 2 or 3 hours, shot the bull, and we, you know, got down to, okay, so if we're going to record, here's what he expects from us. Here's what we're going to expect him to do. And it was a really good story. It was a really good fit for us.
Wow. And so,
he's really calm. He's cool. We called him, you know, Bone Crusher at first because that was a nickname we gave, because if you look at him,
he's
called a Bone Crusher. Yeah. But then we called him, after a while, we started calling him Presto because he's pretty cool under fire, you know.
Wow.
As a performer and as the artist, you want to, you're like, oh man, I wish I could have or should have, or, you know, you want to go back and change something. He's like, we have plenty of tape. We can do it. No big deal. Relax. We'll change it. We'll make the note, and then we'll come back to it. We'll fix it later.
Wow.
Like, oh, okay. You know, you're not rushed. That's a really good feeling.
So how much of an impact did he have on the sound? I mean, did you guys pretty much just go in his studio and, like, hit the record button, or did he have a lot to do with, you know, developing your sound?
No, the sound was already there.
Yeah.
We're not gonna compromise our sound.
Yeah.
But as the producer of the CD, he is gonna put his input in.
Yeah.
And that's what you hire them for. But the thing that we really were concerned about was, is he gonna capture the feel of us live? Because we're a three piece, and we want to make sure that when we go from the CD to live, it, you don't lose that feel when we go, when we're playing live.
Yeah.
So what we asked them to do is just kind of capture us the way that we sound. And what they did is they put in their nuances here and there, a little accent this and a little accent that. And it really, you didn't change the sound of us at all.
That's great. Yeah, that's...
We're still loud. We're a guitar-oriented band like any three-piece band is supposed to be. We came out blasting our songs. He didn't tell us which one to play. We just picked the songs that we wanted to play. We recorded them. And then they went in and did the voodoo that they do.
Wow.
So, yeah, it sounds amazing to us. We're very excited. After I first heard the rough drafts, I was sitting there with my jaw open because it's like, wow, that's the way it's supposed to sound.
Yeah, and so I was curious because, you know, initially, you know, you guys released a four-song EP of just four of the tracks. And so I guess that was the idea, was just to give people kind of a preview, a taste of what was in store.
Right. You want to check the waters. See if there's a call.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to put something out there that there's not a market for it. You know, so what we did was the EP to kind of, you know, see if what kind of responses that we would get, who would respond, how they would respond, you know, what direction they thought it should be. And the response from the EP was just really overwhelming. You know, we got contacted from almost every country in the world. Who's ever heard it, and the response that we got from the EP just told us that whatever it is that we were doing,
keep doing it.
Like, yeah. So we added those songs, and we still have more songs available.
Yeah.
Not that we don't. It's just that, you know what, it took years
to get to this point.
Tracks on the recording the way it is, to what we wanted it.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to throw a whole lot of stuff out there just yet until people really enjoy this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
to go back to what you said with the EP, the EP, like I said, did what it was supposed to do. Build a little main for us, get us going, let people know that we're available, who we are, what we sound like. And then when we put the rest of the CD together, now it's given everybody a full circle. They're like, holy crap, okay, I heard the first four. They were based like this. Now these next six songs that we have on the CD are just like even better because it's a different type of, I don't want to say a different type of sound, but everybody's expecting the same song.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're anything like that, which I'm very proud of us for that reason.
No, I mean, what I kind of liked about it is you guys aren't trying to be anything than what you are. You know, it's almost like I told your brother when I was talking to him about it, you guys have a real Motorhead sound, like real straightforward rock. And the beauty of that is, even he's got like a Lemmy style to his voice. And, you guys are putting out what you're, great rock and roll, and you're not trying to be anybody else. And it is what it is. And I think that's what people appreciate about it, you know?
Well, thanks. Thanks. That's exactly what we're looking for. You know, there's already a Rush. There's already an Iron Maiden. There's already a Lamb of God. There's already, whatever you want out there. But what I grew up listening to, and most of us did, is we grew up listening to, let's bang our head.
Yeah.
Let's drink a beer. And if we get into a little fight after the end of the show or during the show, hey, no big deal. We got into a little scuffle. We had a little fight. We had a little black eye. You know, we went out and had a beer afterwards. We had a great time. I don't want to have to be a major, academic scholar to figure out the lyrics to a song. I just want to go and have fun, bang my head, enjoy the lyrics, chant the songs, with the band, live for speed, metal injection. You want to just have fun with these songs and enjoy them.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend time trying to think about this. What did they mean here? Was he supposed to cross the river? Was it 2 months, too soon into the season? Does the philosophy behind that match? It's just too much work. There's plenty of bands out there like that. Enjoy them. But I think music should be fast. It should be loud. It should piss your parents off. And if you have a wife or a girlfriend,
yeah,
you should be upset that you're even going to the show.
Why?
It's like, what are you doing going to the show? It's too loud. They're too fast. They make too much noise. The lyrics, that's what it's supposed to be. It's rock and roll.
And now, on that note, when I was talking to your brother three weeks ago, I was telling him, the thing that really impressed me about your band, too, is, for being a relatively new band, I haven't been able to find, not that I was looking, but it's just very impressive that I have not read one negative review of the album. You've had plenty of people review the album and done plenty of interviews I've seen on the internet, and I haven't heard one negative thing about the band, and I think that's pretty impressive, for a band relatively as young as you guys.
Well, thanks. And that's another thing that we're very proud of. Quite honestly, this is not us bragging, and trust me, we're not like that at all. We're very humble guys.
Yeah.
We've not had one negative response. I had one neutral response. One.
Yeah.
And it was 5 out of 10. I'm like, I can't argue with that. That's still a positive number. But it was, other than that, like you said, we've had a lot of very good success, a lot of good positive responses from people from different areas, different parts of the country, different parts of the world. People in LA. LA's a tough market. You live in LA.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Machine here. It's tough. And if you can get people in your own hometown, which is Los Angeles, to give you a pat on the back or give you a 9 out of 10 or say, hey, look, these guys are the real thing, like you mentioned earlier. We don't sound like anybody. We're not following anybody's rules. We don't adhere to, this is cookie cutter like that. We don't do anything like that. And when someone says something like you just said a moment ago, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that kind of fan like you that says that we're not a cookie cutter band. We don't sound like everybody else. We're not doing this. We're not doing it that way. We're doing our style. And that we've had positive responses from so many different countries. People in different languages. South America, right now, South America is blowing up. They really love Brute Force.
Wow.
We had a company over in Belgium. These guys are pushing us incredibly hard on internet radio over there. So it's just really good that it could be anywhere from Belgium to Brazil, to Burbank.
Wow.
And the responses that we've gotten have been excellent. We're very excited about it. And, thanks to people like you, that enjoy the music, and you put the word out there about us.
Yeah. And have you got any drum endorsement deals or anything like that? so far?
Not yet. You know, I've contacted, everybody does, I've contacted a couple of companies.
Yeah.
But, you know what, I feel like a schnook, you know, me trying to contact them.
Yeah,
I think it is that they should want me instead of me, just, you know, soliciting them.
What?
And,
yeah.
You know, my brother's had contacts, because he's a big AMPAG guy, obviously. And he's also a big BC Rich. We've talked to a couple of them, and he loves the ESP, types of bases also. So he's talked to a few more companies. They contacted him more than they have me, which is fine. I like what I like,
yeah.
And I'm not going to say what it is.
I got you.
But if somebody's going to pay me to use their equipment,
yeah.
If I believe it, I'll only do it if I believe it.
Yeah, you know,
I'm not going to do it just because I already have my own equipment.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with my stuff, so if somebody doesn't want to pay me, then that's fine. You don't have to, because I'm not going to sell out for anything like that. But, you know, I'm looking into it, but I don't think it's right that I go out and look for it. I think that they should come time.
No, and like I said, you're relatively, you know, new band, and that'll come in time, I think. But, you know, also talking a little bit about being from Hollywood in L.A., I understand part of the reason you guys haven't done any live shows is because, like, I know out in L.A., a lot of the clubs on the strip and that, they got what's called pay-to-play, where you got to sell so many tickets or guarantee so many people are going to show up for, you know, they even consider letting you play. So, you know, since you guys haven't really played out live, how excited are you or looking forward to the chance to doing that one day?
We're chomping at the bit. You know, we're ready. You know, we're like ready. They're waiting for the starting gun to go off so we can jump and go. What's funny is that you mentioned that, you know, L.A. being the pay-to-play. And I talk to my friends all the time. They're in bands back in Georgia and Florida. And I tell them, hey, look, you know, I can't play. And they're like, why are you guys not playing? And I tell them, look, it's going to cost me $1,000 to play the Key Club on a Tuesday night. Because you have to get a decent slot. If you get the 8 o'clock slot on Tuesday night, you might as well just practice in the garage because no one's going to be there.
Yeah.
And they can't fathom that you actually have to pay to play. So LA's bad for that reason, but if you're still going to make it in this industry, I still think you need to be here.
Yeah.
Because this is where the people are. Now, what we're going to be doing soon is there are some clubs around here over in the Valley that don't charge you to play.
Okay.
And if they do have the minimum that they have is very reasonable, we can get that kind of number to cover the expense if we do play in those clubs. What we're going to do now that we have the release of the CD, we are going to start playing around the Los Angeles area now.
Okay.
Going up from Fresno, coming down to San Diego and that area. So we are going to be getting out a lot more now that we're organized and things are changed with the economy. It's a little bit better. But here in L.A., trying to get anybody to come out at a club, as you know, the Key Club just recently closed, and that's one of the live venues for, you know, rock and roll bands.
Yeah.
And they closed down, so now it's even harder to find a gig. And on top of that, the clubs don't want to give you a decent day. You know, they're not going to give you a Friday night or a Saturday night. It's just the way it is. They don't do that here. But if I was in, you know, Biloxi, Mississippi, or if I was in, you know, Scranton, Pennsylvania, I could play Friday night and Saturday night. We could draw the people that we need. So it's coming along. L.A.'s just a tough market. We're glad that we're here, though, because that we have built up a nice little fan base of people that actually come out and do support us. So we're excited.
Yeah, and you know, another thing I respect about a band like you guys is being from L.A., too, is I know that you might actually have an easier time, believe it or not, you know, putting together a tribute band and making your living off of other people's music, and nothing against tribute bands, because, you know, I've worked with some of them, I've seen all the hard work that goes into it, but actually, you know, there's a lot of money, people would be surprised that these tribute bands are making, but, you know, I respect guys like yourself that are, you know, in it for, you know, making your own original music and trying to take a crack at that, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know a lot of guys that, like you mentioned, are in the tribute band, and they play the casinos,
yeah.
You know, and they're making a good living. You know, nothing wrong with that. God bless them.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's what people do when they're, you know, they got a wife at home and they have a kid at home and they can only play one night a week or two nights a week, or they're just looking to kill time, in my opinion. I mean, I have nothing wrong with playing Van Halen covers. I mean, who doesn't like playing, you know, Slayer covers or Van Halen? But you know what? That's just not us. I'm not into playing somebody else's music. Somebody told us the other day, we need to come up with one cover song for our set. people like to hear cover songs. And I'm like, well, is that what people really want? They want us to play a cover song? I'm like, you know what? I don't know if we're ever going to.
Yeah.
I'm sure we will eventually, because I guess that's the way it goes. And if it's okay, we have a couple songs that we picked up that we might do a cover of. But I'm like, I don't really want to do other people's songs. Let them do it. That's what they did the first time. They're the ones that invented it. Let them, let them play it.
Yeah, now,
you like us.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'd like to ask, what's it like being in a band with your brother? I mean, he told me that you guys are really close, and you guys are pretty much like best friends. But like as musicians, I was curious, when you guys are recording, are you like really in sync? You can kind of got a feel for what he's going to play, and how does that work?
Well, it works out two ways. Obviously, as being brothers, we fight to be alpha male. And him being the lead singer, he thinks he's going to be, the alpha male, which is fine. Until he crosses my line, I give him enough, chain to where he can bark. But then when he crosses that line and he comes on to me, then I'm going to stand my ground. I'm just not going to get run over. And then also when the recording studio, he and I were hard on each other.
Okay.
We would say, hold on a second. We would close the door and we would go nose to nose, you do this and you do that. And it's like, no, after you do that. We get into it. And obviously they had mics all over the place so they could pick up, and they recorded a lot of the stuff that we were saying. So they knew what we were talking about. So we didn't try to hide it and whisper.
Yeah.
Because we knew that all the rooms that they have are all mic'd. But we got into each other's grill, and we got up close and personal, a lot of pushing and shoving. But that's the beautiful thing about being in a studio. I see why people say it's so much fun.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's also like having a freaking baby, it's so intense. Because you don't realize as the drummer, and I didn't realize it either, a tenth of a second and the song's ruined, you have to start over again. You can't be a fraction of a second off as the drummer. So it's like being under a microscope, and it's like being under the bubble. Everything is microscope, and it's magnified because you are the drummer. So it was hot one time, I dropped the stick. He started yelling from the other room, stop dropping your effing stick, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it just set me off, and I stood up, I walked out of the drums, and I went in there, and he and I got into it in front of, everybody. But that's just the way it is. We've been doing that our whole lives. We'll throw down with each other, a lot of pushing, a lot of shoving, maybe a punch or two. But then we go back to being brothers. I love my brother, and I'll fight him toe-to-toe. But if anybody messes with him, I'll fight that guy toe-to-toe, too. So
wow.
Don't mess with him.
Yeah. So let me ask him, do you think because you guys are brothers, you're able to be brutally honest? I mean, are you able to be that open and honest with, say, a guitar player, Will, or you guys have a different kind of relationship with him?
Will's a great guy. He's so calm. And I don't want to say mellow because that's such an old cliché-ish term, but Will is just so easy to get along with. You say, Will, jump. He goes, okay.
Sounds like the peacemaker, right?
if we suggest something to Will, Will's open. He's open to everything. He doesn't close his mind to anything. Where if somebody told me to do it, I would say, screw you. You do it.
Wow.
I'm tired. But Will doesn't do that. So our relationship with Will is Will knows that my brother and myself are going to go back and forth with each other. He knows just to step back, let us do our thing together, and then we don't really yell at Will.
Yeah.
But there'll be times we'll say, "Look, play this," and he'll go, he'll play it differently. We're saying, "No, listen to what we're saying. Play this," and then eventually he'll go, "Oh," and then the light bulb goes off, and he gets it. It's like, "Oh, okay," that kind of thing. So we don't really yell at Will. We don't get into Will's face.
Yeah.
Because he's a super great guy. He's not that kind of guy that can yell and scream at.
Yeah.
Respond to that.
Okay.
I would never do that to him with disrespect.
No, I hear you.
That kind of guy.
Wow, okay.
But he also knows that we have his back. If he needs to get yelled at, he knows that he's going to. But it's only for the betterment of the band.
I hear you.
Everything that we do is for the band.
Wow. And,
and that's what's good about being a three piece, since my brother and myself are two thirds of it. So if he has an idea, can run it by me. If I have an idea, I can run it by him, and we can be brutally honest with each other. No, that idea sucks. Or like, no, hey, you know what? That's a great lyric. Write that down. We'll use that. Whereas sometimes if I'm working with Will, I can't really say how that sounded because I don't really know if he was playing it right. Did he mean to do that? Was it not? So relationship with Will is a little different, but still, he knows that we'll get up, you know, up close and personal with him.
Okay.
But it's only for the betterment of the band. But we try not to, because Will doesn't respond to that as well.
I got you. Now let me ask you. So, like, you know, a lot of drummers, you know, there's two types of drummers usually. There are guys that like to kind of showboat, like Carmine Appice or even John Bonham, and they're all, you know, they're real physical players. And there's guys that, you know, like most drummers are just in the back of the stage. They just keep the steady beat. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I kind of envision you being the type that, you know, kind of really physical, and even though you're in back of the stage, you're really making the audience take notice of your playing.
I try to. I'm not going to be twirling the sticks. I just don't have time to.
Yeah, okay.
You know, in a three-piece that we play, you know, where every instrument counts, and if you're playing Live for Speed or Sex Machine, you can't really play around on these songs because it's going to drop the song live. Remember earlier, everything that we play, when we record, we're thinking about playing live for the guy out in the audience. So I don't want to miss a cymbal. I don't want to miss a hi-hat hit because I'm twirling my stick.
Yeah.
Live because I want people to hear the sound. But what I do, and because my name is Slammer,
yeah.
I hit hard.
Yeah.
I think I hit the drums hard, and when I hit a cymbal, you see my arms moving. You see me whacking, you know, whatever it is that I'm hitting. So I don't sit back like Ringo.
Yeah.
Ringo Starr, which is great for him, but you see me moving. And just that I don't have time to do a lot of the fancy trick things because live, it's going to slow the song down, and I don't want to ruin the integrity of any of the songs. So I'd rather, you know, the guitar player, again, is the center of the band. I'd rather he be the nucleus that everybody stares at when we're playing. Stare at him. And then just listen to the thunder and the power of, you know, my brother and myself.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, Booker and Jim are pounding away. My brother's banging the bass. I'm banging the drums. And just enjoy Will's screaming guitar. You know?
That's kind of why I said that. Because, you know, like you said, you know, the name for one thing, Slammer. And then the other thing is, like, you're such a big guy. I just couldn't picture you just sitting there, you know, just keeping the simple beat, you know. I just picture, you know, you'd get...
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. And,
I'm not going to sit back there just to, you know, keep a little tempo. You know, it's not what I do.
So have you guys got any offers to open for other bands? I mean, I imagine you got some musician friends or been making some contacts, or you think pretty much you're just going to start, like you said, touring up and down the valley and see how that goes?
Yeah, actually, you know what? We are starting to work with a booking agency right now, a booking company, an entertainment company.
Okay.
I should say that. It's an entertainment company.
I hear you.
We haven't finalized it yet, but probably toward the latter half of May, this next coming up month, we will start hitting the road. Also, we have a lot of good hard work that we did up in the New York area.
Okay.
With the WZOX people, the radio station up there, Matt Shaughnessy and those guys. So we're going to try to put together, if the booking agency that we're with, if they can't swing it at this particular time, I think we're just going to go up and load up a van and take off in the northeast there and cover the Tri-City area, Jersey, Philly, and New York. Because right now the one radio station is really pushing us really hard. They like us. My brother's done several interviews with them live on air. Peak time in New York, you know, 6 o'clock drive time.
Okay.
My brother's had, you know, 45-minute spots on his radio station.
Wow.
So, so I think we're going to try to take advantage of that. And we have a really good fan base in Texas. The guys down there, they're really loving us and digging us too. So, you know, there was a little while in the getting going, but now that the ball is starting to roll, things are a lot better for the economy also, for people to come out and see bands like us, the unknowns. But because of the hard work that we've been doing, getting our name out there and doing radio interviews and interviews with people like you who are willing to put us out there, you know, we jump at the opportunity because it's only going to benefit us.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to get some of the payback, which is really a good feeling.
Yeah, you know, because I talked to your brother for the first time, you know, like 5 months ago, like last November, and I was telling him when I talked to him a couple of weeks ago for a second time, you know, I kind of wanted to check in to see where you guys were because, to me, you guys are one of the feel-good stories for, you know, the last year because one thing I really admire about you guys is you're really down-to-earth. You appreciate any bit of success you get, and, you're really loyal to your fan base. And the thing I really admire is you guys have done it pretty much just all you know, all yourself. You haven't really had too many people helping you, and it's all done from the, you know, ground level on up.
Well, thanks. And it has been. You know, again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier. It's a labor of love.
Yeah.
You know, no one would do this if you didn't like what you did, if you didn't love what you did. Again, like, I'm not going to sit in a practice studio down in the middle of Hollywood, you know, because where the practice place is, it's in a, you know, not the greatest neighborhood.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna hang down there until 3 or 4 in the morning, you know, from being there for 6 or 7 hours practicing, you know, all by yourself because the other guys, they can practice at home. My brother can practice here in the bedroom, you know, playing his bass. Will can practice at home, and I can't practice drums in the apartment building. So if you're gonna do that, you're gonna put that kind of time and commitment into it. It's gonna feel better for us when we do actually start getting some of the better rewards for it. And then hearing someone like you who just said what you did, it just makes it, you know, that much more, well, I'm going to put my nose down and work even harder. Because if you like what we did and you're willing to spend this much time talking to me on the phone, and I've never met you yet, but I'm hoping we will get a chance to meet,
yeah.
I'm going to work twice as hard just to make sure that I can get you, keep you, and find someone else and keep moving on, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, it's a good feeling for us to hear things like that from people like you.
Yeah, now,
thanks again for all everything you did.
Oh, no, I mean, like I said, it's just, to me, it's just such a, you guys got such a great story, you know, from the wrestling, doing a little bit of acting, to the music, you know, like I tell your brother, you know, that kind of says to me, you know, you guys, you pretty much, even though you're not multimillionaires or anything like that, you're living out your dream, and, you know, there's something to be said for that, and I think you've gone this far because of a little bit of talent and then a lot of hard work, you know.
Right.
You wouldn't got here with,
I appreciate it. Yeah.
You wouldn't get here without the talent or the hard work, you know. And even when you consider your first album out, you got a guy like Bob Kulick, you know, a legendary musician himself and producer. That's pretty impressive, you know, right there.
Thanks. And I say that's a huge feather for us, for, you know, to have a guy who won a Grammy, who's got gold and platinum and silver all over his walls, and not from just one genre of music. I mean, there's an album on the wall from Diana Ross to Meatloaf to Kiss.
Alice Cooper, everything, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, Belinda Ford.
Yeah.
So when you see those things, it's not just one type of music that Bob listens to. So to work with someone who has that kind of, you know, credentials, and he's willing to spend time, his valuable time, to help us and interject ideas and thoughts that can only benefit the band. You know, there were times we didn't always agree with what he did.
Yeah.
You know, we argued with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to really, you know, push too hard because, again, he's got 40 years in the business more than I do.
Yeah.
So I'll take what he says, listen to it, and if it sounds where we're heading and we can all get along and understand that that's better for the band, that's what we'll accept. And that's what we did for the CD. There was a little give and there was a little take. And it worked out both well, you know, for him and for us. Remember, his name's on it, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, he's not going to put something out that's going to embarrass him. And that's where it was a good feeling. You know, here is, you know, we're a couple of schmoes coming in, talking to him because we, you know, we intercepted his brother at the gym and forced him to give us a name and number. You know, so he gave us his own brother's name. And then he accepted us and took us in. So it's a really good feeling that way, that he was willing to accept us and take us in. And he worked with us.
And you'd be
you'd
be amazed, you know, what that does. I mean, because I'll be honest with you, like, you know, somehow your brother got hold of my, you know, he saw my website, got my contact info, and he sent me a copy of the EP. That's how I first came out. I found out about it, and then once I got the CD, I thought, wow, Bob Kulick, you know, produced by Bob Kulick and Brett Chasen. I thought, okay, I know who they are. You know, I'm a Bob Kulick fan, Kiss fan. Okay, because his name's attached, so I'm going to check this out. And the interesting thing about that is, you know, like you said, he's produced countless projects, you know, Motorhead and, you know, Lita Ford, Dinah Ross, and everything in between, but, you know, played on Kiss albums, and you know, he does a lot of these tribute albums, but, you know, you guys are the first thing in a long time, you know, that he's really produced an up-and-coming band, and I thought to myself, okay, for this guy, for a guy on that level to produce, you know, a band that's just coming up like this, you know, he must feel pretty strongly about these guys.
Right, and he'll tell you that, too. Otherwise,
yeah.
I'm not going to waste his time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend time sitting there listening to, you know, something that he doesn't believe either. Yeah. So, you know, it made us feel really, you know, special. It made us feel really good that he was willing to do that.
And you know, you guys seem like, you know, like I said, you work real hard and you build a loyal, like your brother told me, thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it. If you got any suggestions or anything for us, please get in touch with us. We do this again. And I know you guys are worked real hard at building up that kind of, you know, like a contact list of people. And I think that's just, it just goes to show your, what a great work ethic you guys got and keeping it all in-house. And on that note, I was curious, like, could you ever see a day where you guys would bring in, like, you know, outside musicians or outside songwriters? Because I think one thing that makes you guys, even though you got just the one album out so far, is it's all in-house. You got no outside influences coming into the band.
You know, I don't think that we'll ever hire an outside writer.
Yeah.
Thoughts that, you know, my brother has, the thoughts that I have. My brother does most of the writing.
Yeah.
He does 90+% of the writing. But he'll take an idea from me, and then he'll interpret it, and he'll work it, because he knows what I'm trying to get at. So I'll just say a real quick word about that. So I don't think that we'll ever have an outside person write for us, unless it's something really good. Or if it's going to benefit somebody else to help them, then maybe we would. But I don't think that'll ever be an issue. I don't think there's just no need for it right now.
Okay, and the last thing I want to ask before he goes, do you think part of the beauty of being a three-piece band like you guys is, like, if you had, two guitar players, you know, if you 4 or 5-member band, like, even just 2 guitar players, you'd have other guitar players, you know, 2 guitar players trying to outshine each other. This way, with 3 guys in the band, there's not that many egos involved. You each kind of get your fair share of a spotlight, so to speak.
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, you live on the edge with a three-piece.
Uh-huh.
Because when the guitar player goes off into the lead, it's going to be spot-on. Otherwise, the song's going to drop. So you have to be spot on with the three-piece. That's why right now the band that we have, we're clicking. We have thought many times about getting another guitar player to play rhythm to come in, because Will's going to be our lead guy, and Will would always be the one that makes the decision, what he feels, and then as my brother or myself, we would make the ultimate decision. What I mean by that is, let's say that there's a song and we had another rhythm guitar player, and that guy came up to Will and said, look, I think I'd like to play the lead. What we would do is ask Will, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Because Will's our guy.
I hear you.
So we would ask Will if he thinks that it's okay if, you know, Mr. X was to take over and play the lead, if it's okay. And then, not that we would put our stamp of approval on it, because we would trust what Will would say. So I think it's kind of like, again, the three of us would work together as a team. Not trying to over-outdo anybody. I wouldn't try to say I'm trying to override Will.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. But whatever Will would recommend, and we are considering maybe going to a one person.
Okay.
But it also opens up another problem. Now I got another ego.
Yeah.
Is that guy going to be comfortable just playing rhythm? Or is he going to be comfortable, you know, listening to what we tell him to do?
Yeah.
We're not dictators. My brother and myself, trust me, we're not dictators at all. But we're not going to compromise anything that's going to compromise the band.
I hear you.
So I don't need an outside negative force coming in trying to, you know, change this to his band.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of people that have tried that. Let's play my song or two. And I'm like, you know what? You're not even in this band yet. You're telling us
what to do.
Play 1 or 2 of your songs.
Yeah.
And so I like the three-piece because it's easy. You know, all of us, we all get along really good. None of us smoke, which is really fantastic because I don't like cigarettes. We don't do drugs, so it works out really well. And if you get a fourth, now, like you said a moment ago, now you have a fourth personality to deal with.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's where we want to go. Motorhead pulls off a three-piece. Buddy Holly pulled off a three-piece.
Yeah.
That's what I look back to. My DDR player here, I got the old Buddy Holly story with Gary Busey. Because when they start playing and they're, you know, clicking, Buddy Holly, it's a three-piece band. Drums, bass, and guitar. It's rock and roll. That's what it is. It doesn't have to be more than that. Let's have some fun. You know, whatever happened to having fun in music?
Yeah, I hear you.
whatever happened to, you know, I don't know if I can cuss or not, but
yeah.
Fighting and having fun, you know?
Hey, that's the beautiful thing about a band like you guys, is you're bringing the fun back to it, you know?
I want to.
Yeah.
That's what my label is. I'll take that label all day long.
Well, I'll label your next album back, because you know, you guys are bringing the 3Fs back. Well, and we can end on that. But I want to thank you real quick for taking time to do this. I really appreciate it. And it's looking like it's going to go up sometime in July. As soon as I get a concrete date, I'll let you know. And what we're going to do is there's going to be a print version of it, like on the online magazine, kind of be an edited version of all the highlights. And then the audio is going to go up. As well, it'll be the entire audio interview, start to finish, unedited, and then that way people can hear exactly what was said, and I think that's always cool to do.
Oh, okay, great, I appreciate it, man, it's my pleasure.
Okay, and,
something I might be able to run up like on, say, like, Brave Words?
Oh, no, it's just, your brother's got the links, and I can, send you the links, too, but, it's basically www.chaoticriffs.com, and then there's another one, riffmaniaradio.com. Which was where we'll post the audio.
Okay.
But like I said, it'll go up sometime in July. And please just, once again, keep my contact info. And when you guys got a new album or you start doing some touring, I'd love to do this again, because, like I said, I could talk to you all day. But I know you're busy, so I'll let you go and just thank you for doing this today.
Well, thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure. If you ever need anything from us, you know, give us a call. We're not too far down the road from you, so... again, it was my pleasure. I had a great time. I could talk all day about this.